The shuttle Discovery may be further delayed. Threatening emails appear to originate with someone at Flight Prep. And the FAA proposes an AD for some TCAS models. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, December 31st, 2010. NASA announced yesterday that X-ray inspections of the Shuttle Discovery's external fuel tank have found additional small structural cracks, and managers were meeting yesterday afternoon to decide what it means. CFNews.com reports small cracks were detected on the tops of three stringers on Panel 6, which is on the opposite side of the tank from Discovery. If the stringers will require modification before flying, that work will begin on Monday. The STS-133 mission is scheduled to be Discovery's last. It was supposed to launch in November. As of our deadline, NASA's official line remains that it expects to roll the shuttle back to the launch pad in time for its scheduled February 3rd liftoff. The FlightPrep.com patent infringement story is sad, but at least it stays interesting. A series of threatening contacts have been made to Aero News Network in protest of our coverage of the story, and they appear to originate either with Flight Prep or an individual with access to the company's email system. A temporary email account created by someone calling himself Dave Merrill was the source of emails which ANN CEO Jim Campbell says made a number of threats, including at least one against his life. A number of other individuals received emails from the same guy. They all have in common that they had emailed Flight Prep with criticism of the company's course in attacking competitors, suggesting that Dave Merrill may be a Flight Prep insider. He might also be a skilled hacker, but that appears unlikely given that he put all the recipients of his email in the CC field rather than blind copying them, making it easy for those recipients to compare notes. Notwithstanding whatever dark humor we can find in this, federal authorities generally are not amused these days by threats sent across state lines over the internet. And whoever Dave is, he appears to have shown up unarmed for a battle of wits. Get more detail in the text version of this story on our website. A software glitch in some TCAS units made by Aviation Communications and Surveillance Systems has prompted the FAA to issue a notice of proposed rulemaking for an airworthiness directive requiring a software upgrade. The proposed AD results from reports of anomalies during a flight test over a high-density airport in which the units dropped several reduced surveillance aircraft tracks because of interference limiting. The AD is proposed in an effort to prevent TCAS units from dropping tracks, which could compromise separation of air traffic and lead to subsequent mid-air collisions. The deadline for comments is February 11, 2011. The compliance period for the AD is 48 months from issuance. There's a link to the actual proposal at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated December 30th, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, the U.S. Marines like the Raven UAS. An LSA is acquired for firefighting support. And airline travel is stressful, but try not to snap. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Sirius Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday and wrap up the year. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Marine Corps has placed an order valued at over $46 million for 123 new digital Raven small unmanned aircraft systems and initial spares packages, and 186 digital retrofit kits under an existing contract with the U.S. Army. The order also includes 339 digital retrofit kits for the Army. AeroVironment says the Raven system and retrofit order represents the remainder of the funds appropriated for RQ-11B Raven procurement in the 2010 Defense Appropriations Act, which was signed into law in December of 2009. Tom Herring, AeroVironment Senior VP and GM of Unmanned Aircraft Systems, says the Raven has proven its value. Quote, these systems provide situational awareness directly to our warfighters, increasing mission effectiveness and safety, unquote. The Raven is a 4.2-pound, backpackable, hand-launched sensor platform that provides day and night real-time video imagery for over-the-hill and around-the-corner reconnaissance, surveillance, and target acquisition. Each Raven system typically consists of 3 aircraft, 2 ground control stations, and spares. Hey, here's an open-minded fire department. A unit located at 8,300 feet MSL in the Ecuadorian Andes has acquired a flight design lightsport aircraft as its aerial support unit. John Hurst and Jeremy Ensley of Sebring Aviation traveled to Ecuador to train fire department employees in assembly, maintenance, and flight training for the flight design CTLS. The group operating the LSA is called the Air Volunteer Fire Department of Basin. Fire Department leader Hugo Cobo says the evaluation process included certificated GA and even experimental options. Quote, "Using the CTLS in this way, our fire department has an effective tool to help in search functions, recognition, and support of ground operations by providing a better service to the community of Quincana," unquote. Cobo says the decision to buy the CTLS was influenced by the low cost of acquisition and operation. And finally today, is it fair to ask whether the increasing anxiety involved in airline travel is making us increasingly grouchy? A man who allegedly punched a teenager for not switching off his iPhone during a flight between Las Vegas and Boise was arrested. Media reports indicate the 15-year-old passenger was listening to music and playing games on his phone when the flight attendant announced that electronic devices needed to be switched off for final approach. The passenger sitting next to him punched him in the arm, according to KBOI TV News. The police said the blow was strong enough to leave a mark on the youth's arm. The plane's pilots called police, and they were waiting for the passenger at the end of the jetway when the plane landed. They said physical evidence gave them enough probable cause to arrest the man on charges of misdemeanor battery, and he was booked into the Ada County Jail. Maybe we're not getting grouchy. Maybe we're getting punchy. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, another of our interesting people of 2010, Dr. Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org, checked in with me following his testimony before Congress in September. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. See you next year, and have a clear and unlimited day.